Thought Crime. I'm your host, Wesley Fox. For this episode 43, I'm going to review the mid-season finale of The Walking Dead, which just wrapped up a few days ago. I am recording a few days later. I waited a little bit to give everyone a little bit of time to watch it if they did not see it on Sunday. I myself only saw it a day ago, and just in general, I figured for the sake of spoilers, because there's going to be spoilers in here, we're going to talk about the whole season and the mid-season finale and go from there. So, The Walking Dead mid-season 7 finale, which puts us somewhere around the 100 episode mark. So we are very, very deep into this show, which is one of my favorites. And I'm going to start by describing, and should be clear on this before we proceed. The Walking Dead, arguably, for me, is the best show on television for the past 7 years. It is a triumph. It is a classic. It will pass the test of time. People will be watching this, talking about this, and thinking about this for a long time. It has left an impact on the culture. It has left an impact on science fiction, on spec, on horror, on everything. It is a fantastic show. I had to get that out there because of some of the things you're going to hear later in the show. It's going to make it sound like I hate it. I don't. This is one of the best things I have ever seen. And some of the moments in this show will stay with me for the rest of my life. So, they are in season 7. Getting to 7 seasons for a drama, especially an hour drama, is impressive. Many of them don't even get out of, obviously, we all know that most shows don't get out of season 1. Some of them get to 2nd or 3rd, and then they fall apart. And dramas in particular can go 4, 5, or 6 seasons, but their ratings dribble down. They experience a slow and painful death. And back in the day, they would sometimes, you know, if they had enough money and clout, they could keep going, and they would start doing crazy things when they run out of ideas, hence the cliche, jumping the shark. So to get to 7 seasons without jumping the shark, and still to go this long without a significant drop in quality, and I know there, and I will talk about the drop and about the changes here, but this show still is huge this long. It's very impressive. So, having said all that, I have to say that it is now, I was suspicious, I was kind of skeptical in thinking about this in season 6, and especially how 6 ended. I was starting to wonder if Walking Dead had peaked. And after about, now that we're at the mid-season of season 7, it's now confirmed that The Walking Dead has peaked. It's not going to go back up. It's not going to recapture our hearts. Its best days are behind it. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. It, like I said, 100 episodes. I mean, that is very impressive. But it's pretty clear to me now that, you know, they to continue something to this stage and to continue coming up, generating new drama, new characters, new timelines, new plots, new things to keep people engaged at the same level that people were. I mean, to hit people is hard. Dramatically and to gut-wrench you the way they did in previous seasons, it's pretty clear to me now that they are not capable of repeating that anymore. And there's a couple of reasons for that that have nothing to do with their talent and nothing to do with the writing. This is just basic, this is like basic drama or basic kind of fiction 101 kind of stuff that every, you know, movies, novels, TV shows, whatever, they all have to deal with. You know, all stories come to an end. All kind of dramatic points have to close, have a climax and a conclusion. You can't, and there's a reason why, you know, movies, for example, cannot keep your heart racing for 2.5 hours because you get numb to it, and that doesn't work. And some of the best movies, the thrillers, you know, they're very calm, they're very calm. Then they hit you, then they're calm again, it's because you're not expecting it, and you don't get used to it. After 7 seasons, we're used to Walking Dead. And there's a lot of things about this show that we are now becoming accustomed to that were just blowing us away a few seasons ago. That's just the facts. You can call it the law of diminishing returns. You can call it, you know, just the fact that you cannot hit the same beats from a thematic and narrative perspective over and over again and expect to get the same result. Both of those things roughly mean the same thing. You just can't keep doing the same thing over and over, and you can't especially from a narrative standpoint, you can't take a certain story and a certain structure and keep innovating over and over again, because eventually you're going to venture out of, you know, out of the reservation and into areas that your show or your it shouldn't go. And it's going to be weird, bizarre, and that is when you have jumped the shark. It's when you're so desperate to keep something going that you're starting to venture into new territory that it was never meant to go, and it just becomes distorted and weird and hysterical, and it becomes a joke. And Walking Dead's not there, and I don't think they're close to jumping the shark, but I think, as I've said, they've peaked, they've been hitting the same narrative points over and over, they're starting to lose their bite, and I think that for the sake of the franchise, for the sake of what it is, I would not. I've seen a lot of my favorite shows go the extra two or three seasons past where they should have and have pathetic deaths. X-Files had a pathetic end the last season or two. Trying to think some of the favorite comedies of the 90s and 2000s. You know, some people think Seinfeld went one season too far. Some people think True Blood went too far. There's a case to be made that if you're making a hit TV show, you should expect, even if you are the greatest thing on earth and are winning all the awards and you've done it, you're at the very top of your game, you really should not expect to go more than 7 or 8 seasons before you have to wrap it up. Otherwise, the quality will drop, your ratings will drop, and it's almost like I'll give you a sports analogy to this too, because this happens in sports. It's when that great player just refuses to retire and he keeps coming out of retirement. It's just not the same. For example, I saw Michael Jordan play in his prime. He's the greatest player that's ever played the game, in my opinion. And so when I watched him come out of retirement to play for the Washington Wizards, you know, when he was 35, 36, yeah, he was still a good player, put up good numbers, but he was not the same thing. And really, in my opinion, it was a little sad. And it just did not mean... It didn't mean to the Wizards fans what he means to the Bulls fans and his accomplishments and everything. It's a little bit of a taint to it. And there's always this discussion in sports, you know, you want to try and retire on top, but a lot of these guys just can't do that. They want to keep playing as long as they think they're competitive, even if they've lost a step or et cetera, et cetera. So, and sometimes they just don't know what else to do with themselves. So going back to television, same thing here. I don't want to see my favorite show drag on past their prime and go past just trying to squeeze as much money as they can out of their franchise and as much out as they can out of their show when it's clearly done. And that is my attitude towards The Walking Dead right now. I don't think they're done, but I think they're, in my opinion, they really, and I said this when John was on the show with me, that they should start thinking about their close, their finale, and how they want to do this, how they want to be remembered, and how they want to do this. And I'll give you one big example is the show Breaking Bad, from AMC. Everyone says that is arguably one of the best shows ever made. It only ran 5 seasons, and there's a reason for that. It's not because they got canceled, and it's not because their ratings dropped. It's because the writers made a creative choice that they were going to create a story arc that was going to go that long, and when the story arc was done, they were done. They were not going to stretch it out. They were not going to try to squeeze another season or two and another paycheck or two out of it. They had a creative vision, and they were going to stick to it, and they were not going to drag it out and have a sad, you know, limp to the finish line. And that's a little bit on the short side, but not as short as you think. I just checked real quick on some of the really like high-end dramas from the last 15 years, just to see where Walking Dead is. You know, Walking Dead's a horror, sci-fi horror. It's not a, you know, it is dramatic, but most people would put it in the sci-fi horror category, which is a little different than the shows I'm about to mention. But just as a comparison of where some of these other great shows have gone and how long they went in comparison to Walking Dead, and I think this is very telling, and it should suggest to you, if you're listening out there, that if you're disagreeing with me, you should think a little bit about your other favorite shows and other great shows out there. So, for example, The Sopranos ran 6 seasons. Mad Men ran 7 seasons. Breaking Bad, like I said, 5 seasons. True Blood, 7 seasons. X-Files, 9 seasons, and the last 2 were awful. Star Trek, Next Generation, Star Trek Deep Space Nine, all went roughly seven to eight seasons. Of course, they had about 25 episodes a season, whereas most dramas these days have between 10 and 15 episodes. So they're a little different, and they're also from a different time, arguably. But you get the point. Basically, seven seasons seems to be the marker. And if you go past that, you need a really good reason. We are now at season seven, and we already know there's going to be a season eight for Walking Dead. And they claim they have enough storyline to keep going for this show. I just don't buy it. They may have it. They may have all those graphic novels having great ideas. And for graphic novels, that works. But if you want to drag these characters through the pain and suffering of what they've already gone through for another few seasons, because this is your cast, you can't just jump. You can create a new cast if you want, but I mean, in TV, you know, that's generally not what you do, unless you're an anthology. So I really think that they have to start, you know, if they want to maintain some integrity here for this great show, and this is a fantastic show, they need an exit plan. They need a closing. And I really think, I know they probably won't do this, but I really think this show should end at 9 seasons, maybe 8. Although I'm realistic. I know that's not going to happen. They've been renewed for an 8th season. They're probably going to be renewed for a 9th. But if I were them, I'd be writing, and I'd be preparing for a great series finale, a great ending, a great way to close this whole arc, the way Breaking Bad and these other shows have tried to do it. Some have succeeded, some not so much. That's what I'd be thinking. I would not try to stretch this show out to 12 seasons or 11 seasons, which one of the writers mentioned. I thought that when he said we have enough storyline for 11, I forget which writer and I forget where I read it, but he said at some panel that, oh, we have enough storyline for 10 or 11 seasons. When I heard that, I'm like, no, you don't. If you do, believe me, only a few million, I mean, not very many people are going to watch it. So that is my case for Walking Dead past its peak. Should maybe close around 9 seasons. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with what's going on. But all of this is built on my general opinion of season 7, that this is not a good season. This is inferior to the previous 4 or 5. In fact, this might be the weakest of the 7. And I'm going to go through some of the things that I believe are the cases and also some of the other arguments I've heard, and maybe try to capture a little bit of, you know, maybe the defenders of Walking Dead that still think this is just as good as it was before or whatever. So I'm going to try to capture all of that and try to convince, and maybe not try to convince you, but just lay out that this show that we all love so much, you know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, there's nothing wrong with maybe closing the chapter and moving on to Fear the Walking Dead or Zombie Nation or whatever. If you want to get your zombie, there's nothing wrong with moving on to another story. I mean, stories have to end, so. That's what I'm going to talk about today. I'm going to obviously review the mid-season finale. I'm not going to spend the whole time on that because I just don't think it's not worth 50 minutes of my time to critique that finale. So I'm going to critique the whole half season and put it all together as much as I can, and also try to tell you like my reasons for why this is an inferior season and why this show is in decline. All right, Walking Dead is facing all of us. I mean, emotionally, psychologically, this is not a business argument. We've watched 6 full seasons of The Walking Dead. We've seen about 100 hours plus of zombies, of horrible deaths. We now have Fear the Walking Dead. We have Zombie Nation. We got World War Z. We're getting a lot of zombie fiction and a lot of zombie materials in the last 10 years. And a lot of it has been the result of the success of Walking Dead and the novel World War Z. And that's awesome. And I still think, out of all of that, the Walking Dead TV show is still the standard. But we're reaching a saturation point. We've gotten a lot of doses of zombies and a lot of doses of horrible deaths and horrible people and cannibals. And we're getting a lot of that, and it's starting to lose its effect. So when I watch, for example, when Tara and blanking on the other character's name are on the bridge and they get attacked by zombies and it turns out to be more zombies than they thought, that moment, that scene does not have the same impact on me as, you know, scenes of zombies, you know, taking them by surprise in the warehouse back in season 5, I think, or, you know, the prison, or whatever. It just doesn't have the same effect. Watching, you know, speaking of the mid-season finale, watching Spencer get murdered and have his guts fall out of his stomach does not have the same impact on me as it does, because I have seen deaths like that, and horrific deaths, several times on this show. So that does not have the same impact on me that it normally would. I mean, I just watched Glenn, who is by far, I love that character a lot more than Spencer. We saw the way he died not 8 episodes ago. And so you're expecting me to be appalled and kind of jump out of my seat or jump off my couch when that happens to Spencer? It's just not. It's a law of diminishing returns of the post-traumatic stress. You know, we're seeing, you know, these moments of Sasha and Daryl and the character from the kingdom. You know, they break down in tears when they're alone. They're remembering their lives before it all happened. They're remembering the lost loves, you know, of Glenn. Those things have been happening for 7 seasons now. They don't hit me as hard as they used to. The shock, the trauma, the PTSD, the gore, the blood, the intestines flowing out. I mean, those things just aren't really doing it for me. So if they were trying to build a lot of what they have on those things, it's losing its effect on me. And I think, honestly, it's losing its effect on a lot of people. And especially after you brutally murder, you know, one of the fan favorites in episode 1 of this season, there's really not much you can do after that will appall us. There's nothing. I mean, you pushed us all to the limit of horror and just despair and tragedy of watching Glenn die the way he died, that there's really nothing you can show us now that will ever reach that level of pain and shock to us. There just isn't. You've done it. You've peaked. There's nothing you can do. I mean, you could kill Daryl, who's probably just as popular as Glenn. I mean, you're basically going to destroy your show, and I'll get to that in a second, from a commercial standpoint. But, I mean, it's when you do that, and the way they did it, I also kind of think they really, really took a huge risk on it, and I think the gamble did not work when the way they killed Glenn. You basically, and then you lay out a whole season where episodes 2 through 7, the whole middle of it, were all boring as hell, where nothing happens and nothing, and the narrative barely moves. They show us a little more of the Savior world, so what? It's not, I mean, we're not impressed. I mean, a lot of fans are not impressed. Some of them still love this stuff and they can't get enough of it, but I mean, I personally just did not get a lot of these 8 episodes. I just didn't. I got a lot out of the last 15 minutes of this mid-season finale. The scene on Hilltop when, you know, Daryl and everyone is in one place and Rick, you know, admits that this whole kind of surrender and bend over thing for Negan was a mistake, and they're all kind of walking up to the Hilltop little house there, and they're all they know they can't fight head to head, but they are going to find a way to kill Negan. You know, that was fantastic. That's what I've been waiting for. And I had to wait 7 hours for it. Through 7 hours of just dull, you know, beating the same beats over and over. That's what this season was for me. So it's just, it's not, that's, to me, that wasn't very, that just didn't work. The way the season started, the way this last season ended, the way this everything has gone, what they did with these 8 episodes did not work for me. And I'm judging by what I've heard and seen, it didn't work for a lot of people. You started the thing off with such a huge, heavy note. There's no way you were going to, and there wasn't really a whole lot you could do after that to keep people's attention. And I also think they lost a lot of viewers with that first episode that they're just never going to get back. All right. So that's a structural stuff. That's kind of like the broader, you know, from 30,000 feet kind of look. Let's get into some of the details. This season is built all around Negan. That's obvious. He is featured in half the episodes. He's featured more than any other character. And the way Jeffrey Dean Morgan plays him, he is clearly like this high-functioning psychopath, like a Joker-esque kind of character where he's making cheesy jokes and he's pretending like he's everyone's friend even though he just murdered a bunch of people. He's walking around like he's king shit of Turd Mountain. they thought they were creating this new supervillain, this new ultimate villain of Walking Dead. You know, this warlord, he's like the biggest, nastiest villain they've ever faced and the group has ever faced. That's what they were betting this season on. And that's why they built it all up when he walked out of that RV at the finale of season 6. And of course, he brutally murders Abraham and Glenn and at the premiere. And they drag out his speech for 20 fucking minutes, you know, and the whole thing with him and Rick. I mean, it just, they clearly were putting it all on Negan and on Jeffrey Dean Morgan. It didn't work. Negan is impossible to watch. He is so fucking ridiculous, obnoxious, silly. He is scary. He is definitely, he keeps you on edge at all times, but he is impossible to listen to. He is not charming. He is not like that kind of like half charming, half vicious, you know, kind of sociopath kind of character. He is not a Joker. He is not an agent of chaos. He's basically a third world warlord who has obviously lost his mind. But he's basically, or, you know, you could argue that he's kind of like an Ida Amin character, like the Forrest Whitaker's character in The Last King of Scotland, or he is, you know, Uday or Saddam Hussein. Basically, when you take control of a third world country and you're an absolute monarch, or a villain from history is, I think his name was Rafael Trujillo of the Dominican Republic, who I'll get into a little bit later. But basically, yeah, somebody like Negan could exist in this scenario. He's somewhat, I'm not arguing about his realism and that a guy like that could not exist. My point is, he is not nearly as magnetic and terrifying. He does not have that super villain, like the ultimate antagonist. He's just not that good. And I would argue that, honestly, I think the governor might have been a better villain, and in my opinion, is a better, more fully formed villain than Negan is so far. And Negan leads this new supergroup. You know, Rick Grimes' group, they've faced biker gangs, they've faced Woodbury, Terminus, that Atlanta Police Department, the Wolves. This is obviously their greatest threat. The Saviors are number probably in the hundreds, maybe 150. They have a vast network. They're a very, you know, they're the biggest foe that they've ever faced. And Negan is clearly one of the more effective leaders because of his, you know, psychological warfare that he plays on everybody. He gets people to kneel. He has numbers. He has, and that's fine. All of that works, except they put it all on the Negan character, not just his power, but his, you know, that he would be this kind of trance, you know, and he's not. He's obnoxious. And the way he talks to his own people, I cannot help but think that at some point, one of his own people would have thought, you know what, I'm sick of this fucker. I'm going to put a bullet in his head. He's standing right there. He walks around. All you have to do is put a bullet in his head. That's all you have to do. And I refuse to believe that out of all of his lieutenants and all the people around him down there in his little savior compound, that never crossed their mind. You see the way he talks to people. He talks to his own people. He talks to everyone the same way. And you're telling me that no one thought to just, you know, as he's walking away and whistling to himself because he's, you know, he's King Shit of Turd Mountain, that nobody thought to put a bullet in his head? No, there's got to be something more to his power. And it's usually lieutenants or usually some else kind of thing that he holds over everyone. He can't just have hostages, you know, like Daryl for everyone. He can't, I know he broke a lot of people psychologically, but he has hundreds of people under him. He could not have broken all of them. And of course, if you give somebody like, for example, Dwight, enough opportunities and they hate you enough, eventually one of them, like Dwight or Rosita actually tried, is going to try to kill him. So I refuse to believe somebody that obnoxious. And again, my one analogy is Joker. Joker doesn't have a crew, really. I mean, he does in the comic books, but in the movies and more seriously, he's a one-man show. He doesn't really work with anyone, or the people he does work with are all expendable. He doesn't care. So he doesn't have an empire. Joker doesn't have a criminal empire, per se, as a functioning psychopath. He's just an agent of chaos and an ultimate nemesis to order and justice. Negan has an empire. He's apparently an organizational genius. He apparently is also a tactical genius. I just don't see it. Where is that? He walks around whistling and telling bad jokes and talking to everyone like he's the coolest kid in school. I don't see it. They put it all on Negan for this season. I don't think it worked. And it's not just his attitude. Obviously, he killed Glenn. They decided to have Glenn murdered in the first episode in a very grotesque way, a very undignified way, with his eyeball popping out in front of his pregnant wife. It's ballsy. That was very gutsy for the show, the writers, to do that. I mean, most writers and most producers would have told you, you're going to destroy your show if you do that to one of the top characters. Like, that is... But they did it anyway. So they give credit for trying something and doing something that is definitely very risky. And they gambled, and they lost. The season premiere was extremely painful to watch. And it was extremely painful to watch the rest of this season because of what happened in the season one, and also because of the huge differential in the drama from that. So just a less than impressive villain. And by the way, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, I read a few articles. A few other bloggers were very excited that he was joining Walking Dead because of his other credits on TV. I know him from a couple movies and a little bit of TV. Good actor. He definitely does what he's supposed to do and what they ask him to for this character. But I'm sorry, he is not a five-star, like, elite, award-winning guy, actor, villain, antagonist. This character is not written very well, is not written to be that. He is not up for it. I mean, I don't think he could save this character. I think he does a fantastic job for what they give him, but this character just isn't that right. And even if it was right, I don't think Jeffrey Dean Morgan was the guy to do it. I just don't think he is. He's a game changer. He's a good actor. He does a good job. He's doing a tremendous job as Negan, but he is not a game changer that I think they were hoping for. And then they beat, and for this character, and I think the reason that, and I got so annoyed and more annoyed, every time he talked, I was very tempted to mute. But they use up half the episodes in the season to drive home the point that Negan is in charge, and he's taunting everyone, and he's teasing everyone, and he's walking around with Lucille, and he's been doing this on and on. He's doing this to our group, our favorite characters, our people. Now, if he would have done it for an episode or two, you know, I mean, the governor killed some of our favorite people, the Terminus people. I mean, it's not that, you know, our people are untouchable. He beat them, he got them in the road, and he killed Abraham and Glenn. Fine, and the saviors are in control. But they couldn't stop there. They had to keep going. And, you know, he walks around Alexandria, there's a gun missing. Then he's, walking around with Carl, making Carl sing. I mean, they're just beating this fucking point to death that he is this psychopath who has this weird kind of half-violent, half, you know, joking. I read in Forbes, I think it was Forbes, the entertainment editor or commentator mentioned that one of the things they think might be harming the ratings and harming the show is that out of the 8 episodes of this new season, they've taken place in 6 locations. 6 locations in 8 seasons. The Woods, Alexandria, Hilltop, the Kingdom, the Savior Compound, and that beach community of all women. And I'll get to that later. We've done this before. Like, our people have been all over the place, from Atlanta all the way up to DC and whatever. So I guess that's not really a huge problem for me, but I think maybe 6 and 6 episodes or 6 and 8 episodes, maybe that was pushing it. I don't know if I agree with that. I've heard a few people say that. I know the article said it. By dividing the locations up, you've also fractured the subplots of all the sub-characters, and there's virtually no connectivity until episode 8. And even in episode 8, you didn't connect all the characters. Carol and Morgan are still out on an island here. So there's an argument that this one show has actually become 4 shows, and they're jumping around way too much. You're basically only getting 2 or 3 episodes of each show in a 4-month span. So they argue that doesn't work. I think I agree. I think that's a fairly decent point, but I don't think that's really fatal, because I think Walking Dead has done something like that before and it worked. So But maybe in this case, maybe they were stretching the whole, you know, let's jump around to six different locations with 12 different characters. Maybe they're going a little too far, especially with, you know, some characters that just don't carry the day by themselves. A couple things, two things that I think some people are pointing out. We had two more murders in the mid-season finale. Neither of them are core players, and both of them are not likable in any way. Basically, the show killed off two characters that nobody cares about, Spencer and Olivia. They don't have a fan base, and so those two deaths were easy. Now, you killed Glenn and Abraham in episode one, so I didn't expect them to kill a core character like Daryl or whatever in this episode. I get that. But to keep killing off Alexandria characters like you did in the previous season, I mean, you've already been beating that drum, and that's just not that dramatic to anyone, because the people of Alexandria just, they die a lot, all the time. I mean, ever since Rick's group has gotten there, Alexandria has just been slaughtered. So, the episode where Tara finds a community of all women, really? Basically, the lesbian of the group, the only gay or lesbian character of the core group. I know there's another gay character. There's two gay characters in Alexandria. She's out on her own, and she happens to stumble upon of a community of all women. And one of them seems to like her. I mean, a little too obvious. I mean, a little too just... The Saviors killed all their men, and now they're just a bunch of, you know, women of, many of them of, you know, in their prime, in their 20s and 30s. You know, Tara must have thought she died and went to heaven. I mean, it was just silly. Let's see if our audience swallows that, you know, and I thought that was stupid. I also think, all right, going back. In addition to the whole kind of overall broader series arc, I think a lot of the character arcs have run their course. The great character arcs. Daryl, awesome character, but his story seems to have largely concluded itself. I mean, basically, he's been tormented in this season. There's been no opportunity for any kind of progression of any kind. We thought maybe we were getting that because of his little kind of, you know, connection with Beth, but then of course Beth dies. His connection with Carol leaves. So that was a great one. Carol, of course, has decided she wants to be left alone. She can't kill anymore. Well, that hasn't changed in eight episodes in season seven so far. But the Carol arc was wonderful. The Rick Grimes arc, of course, has largely reached its prime, and he is who he is now. Carl Grimes, that character arc just clearly does not seem to impress a lot of people, and and what I've seen so far in season eight, it's just not that impressive. So like these individual character arcs that could maybe carry you through a season and show you the evolution of the group and of, we're just not seeing it so far. And I think a lot of the best stories have already been told. There's a few out there that I think could be used, and I think maybe we're seeing a little bit of it already, that you might see kind of the next set of character kind of arcs and evolutions. The rise of Maggie as a leader of Hilltop, that's definitely one. And because she's always been kind of she's been a fighter, and she was a civilian for part of the show, then a fighter, and then kind of basically Glenn's wife. But she was never really, and she was kind of being groomed for leadership in Alexandria, and now we're seeing her that she's seen as the ultimate badass. Her husband is gone, she is pregnant, but she's carrying a lot of weight and influence in Hilltop after saving them. So her rise to power and her rise to influence and her rise from, you know, just the kind of good old fun, you know, farm girl, you know, kind of civilian to ultimate badass to Carol status, that could be one. And she's one of the favorite characters, so that's certainly an interesting one. Daryl and Carol, my two favorite characters, they're the most interesting ones, but I don't know how much more you can do with them. I think their best stories are behind them. King Ezekiel, I think, is a very cool character, but we only saw him for one fucking episode. Jesus, interesting character so far. No goddamn development. No, we hardly know the guy. But there's potential there. There's potential for him. There's potential for Ezekiel and Maggie. But we lost two of the most loved and interesting characters, Glenn and Abraham. Abraham was maybe not the most interesting, but he was one of the most colorful. Glenn was a favorite. So you lost two big pieces of this show. And so far, they've been unable to fill that gap with new characters or development from existing ones, at least so far. That is one way you could do it, like the rise of Maggie, the increasing role of Ezekiel and development of Jesus and Ezekiel, and this other character from the kingdom that wants to fight. Characters that I think cannot carry the day for this show: Sasha, Enid, Rosita, Eugene, Tara. They can't. They've been around for a while, and they're just not capturing anyone's imagination. Sorry, they're not. In fact, I heard from, me and John mentioned this in the other episode. We all figured that the person that everyone would miss the least on the street when Negan was going to kill somebody was going to be Eugene. Rosita, she's just not likable. I mean, she's just causing... She caused a lot of problems in the mid-season finale by trying to kill Negan and failing. Shooting Lucille. Very selfish move on her part. Got Olivia killed. She's just... I don't see it. Like, I don't see the great character in her. Enid and Sasha, they've had a lot of opportunities to really, gain attention and rapport in previous episodes. They haven't done it. So I really think the only way this show can go is maybe Carol comes back into the fold as a warrior. Daryl, maybe. The rise of Maggie and kind of the continued kind of evolution of Ezekiel. That's the only way I can see it. The Rick Grimes story has played out. Carl, Judith, that whole thing has played out. The Alexandria people, no one gives a shit about them. They die all the time. We just assume they're all going to die. So whoever's left, we figure they're not going to last much longer. Other possibilities, Dwight and his wife. We all were basically meant to hate Dwight after last season, but we're now seeing the deal with the devil he made, and that he's starting to doubt that deal because he had to give his would-be wife up to Negan, and Negan basically has a harem of other people's girlfriends and wives. That, again, you're just asking to get stabbed in the back by one of your people by doing that. That's a stupid... Unless you have a way of protecting yourself, walking around with bodyguards the way dictators do in third world countries, you're asking to get stabbed in the back or shot in the head when you turn your back on Dwight or any of these other guys. But there's a possibility that we might see Dwight and his wife play a bigger role in the fall of Negan. We've already seen them betray him. I'm under the assumption that Dwight's wife, and I'm blanking on her name, helped Daryl escape. So... And Dwight is clearly sympathetic to Daryl for their encounter and everything that happened. For even though they have injury to his genitals that resulted, and also that he just basically walked up and tried to kill Daryl on the train. It's a really weird kind of connection they have. I don't really fully understand it, and I'm not entirely sure it works yet. Maybe it will. Maybe this is going to come to something. But I think everyone sees something there, and it's a weird kind of interplay between these two characters that we all thought hated each other. And on a final note, my final criticism of this season so far is that it's too fucking slow. After episode one, what has happened? Basically nothing happened between episodes 2 and 7. Everything happened in this mid-season. Basically, everything happened in the premiere and the mid-season finale, and the middle was just a valley of shit. All right, so here are the big things that happened in this mid-season finale so far. Daryl escapes. That happened in the mid-season finale. Kingdom wants to fight. Mid-season finale. Rosita attempts to kill Negan. Mid-season finale. Michonne tries to kill Negan. And decides in the end not to. Mid-season finale. Spencer attempts a coup over Rick. Happens in the mid-season finale. those are all the big events, and they all happened in the mid-season finale. What happened? Ask yourself, what happened in episodes 2 through 7? Tara's character development, I guess, which wasn't really character development. We got to see Daryl tortured. Carl attempts to kill Negan and fails. I guess that's another one that has... So, yeah, Carl's attempt on Negan's life. That was a plot point that happened in 2 through 7. Maggie's defense of Hilltop and rise to influence there, which is not really a very significant development. I get it is a development, but it's not really a big one. But yeah, that did happen in the middle of the season. So, but basically all the big stuff happened in 1 and 8. 2 through 7 were just filler. And they were excruciating, and some of them were very excruciating to watch for me. And I think that formula going forward isn't going to work. And I think that is the, and I've given you all my reasons and my arguments and some of the things I've read on the internet and some of what other bloggers have said, kind of just as a normative, kind of just straight up argument of why I feel the way I feel about season 7 and this show. Now I'm going to give you the commercial kind of, you know, what do the people think, and what, you know, from a democratic standpoint, you know, what do the fans think? The season premiere of Walking Dead, where Negan brutal, you know, murders Glenn and Abraham, got 17 million viewers. The finale from season 6, I think, got around 15 or 16 million. Basically, that's what we're looking at here, ratings-wise. Now, that doesn't mean that only 17 million people are watching this show. As we all know, a lot of people watch the show a few days later. Not everyone watches it on Sunday night. So 17 million is just the people who watch it the first night. But it's a pretty good indicator of overall interest, and you can also look at Rotten Tomatoes, customer reviews, and things like that. So anyway, so 17 million is the starting point for season 7. About, I think, episode 5 or 6 or 7, basically around towards the end, it had dropped to 10.5 million. Now, you expect a drop from your premiere to your regular episodes. It happens to every show. But this drop was, if I'm doing my math right, about 40%. 35 to 40% drop to 10.5 million, which is the lowest The Walking Dead has done since season 3. It has been above 10 million, 11 million viewers since season 3. And the mid-season finale, and mid-season finales tend to do better than the middle episodes, got 10.6. Only a little bit more. So ratings-wise, and customer review rise, and rating, and the ratings and the approval that the show is getting, there has been a very significant drop. Now, is it getting Fs? Is it getting fail reviews? Are people saying it's awful? No, that's not the case. But it has clearly lost a third. It has arguably lost a third of its audience. And the big thing that everyone says, and a lot of people turned off after Glenn. After Glenn was bashed to death with his eyeball popping out, that episode to the next one, I think there was about a 3 to 4 million viewer drop, and then it just kept falling from there. So a lot of people say that they can't watch it after that. And I think that's where they lost a good chunk on that. You know, you kill one of the favorite characters, you're going to take a hit. And they probably knew that. But they also figured that, you know, the things they were working on could maybe win some of those people back, or maybe add some viewers or whatever. That didn't happen. They're at 10.5 million, which is still a fantastic, you know, by most standards is a fantastic number for a cable show. But for Walking Dead standards, it is a huge drop. It is a problematic drop, and no one's going to say it publicly, but I can tell you that AMC is a little worried. I don't think no one's going to cancel a show with 10.5 million viewers. I'm not saying they're going to get canceled, but they're probably sitting down with Robert Kirkman and the writers and producers of the show and saying that and talking to them about what has happened so far in this season and said, look, you're not going in the right direction. You need to right the ship. Whatever it is, you know, whatever that takes, you have to right the ship. And basically, you are not going to kill off a popular character like that again. You tested your limits. You gambled on that, and you lost. We can't do that again. You can't brutally kill a favorite character like Daryl or Carol or Rick or whoever. You can't, or Maggie or whatever. You just can't do it. If you do it, I mean, it's the proof is right here. So they're a little worried. They are. They won't say it out loud. No one's going to say it out loud, but they're worried because you don't lose 30 to 40% of your audience this quickly without something being wrong. So can they get some of that viewership back? I think maybe a little bit, but I think honestly, the 10 to 12 million range is probably where they're going to stay. I don't think they can win back those viewers. I think they've done too much damage in the last half season. But that is basically where the show is. It peaked. In my opinion, it peaked. The end of season six, the beginning of season seven was its height. I don't think it'll ever reach that again, unless because from what I've seen in this so far in this season, they don't have it. They dragged us through five or six episodes where nothing happens, and then tried to show us a lot of things happening at once in the finale. That model for where we are in this show doesn't work. If this were another situation, another part of a show's life, maybe. If maybe somebody the favorite character wasn't murdered in the way he was, maybe that worked. It's not going to work. So, but if you have a show, if you have 10 million viewers, you're going to stick around for a while. So nobody cancels a show with 10 million viewers, and especially not with its generally positive reviews. Not as strong as they used to be. They've definitely dropped off on the customer approval and ratings, but they're still strong. They're still better than most shows, and their ratings are still better than most shows. So this show will continue through seven and through season eight for sure. No doubt about that, and probably season nine. But from a commercial standpoint and a rating standpoint, I would really think that they're not going to move up from 10 to 12 million. And I think as time goes on, I think you might see them bleed away more viewers, because at some point they're going to feel the need to kill off another major character, because that's what they do. Or if they don't kill off a major character and just drag on this conflict with Negan, they'll also lose viewers. So I mean, I don't know what they can do to regain the millions of viewers and the millions of fans, or not fans, but casual viewers. That's where they lost. They've lost casual viewers. They've lost millions of casual viewers, and I don't think they're going to get them back. Just my opinion. So that is my critique of The Walking Dead mid-season finale and the first half of season seven and all my various theories on TV success, because I've had so much TV success in my life, I clearly know what I'm doing. I'm basing everything I say on just what I see and what I read and my own little take on it. I've never worked in television, so take my opinion for what you will. I could be wrong about all of this. I definitely concede that. So I could be. So don't start emailing me and telling me, oh, what the hell do you know? Like, believe me, I know I very well could be wrong about all this. But you know what? If I don't think we can really have a conversation about anything unless you're willing to, stick your flag on a hill somewhere. So I've done that. That's my assessment of the show based on this, amateur movie, TV, entertainment, and also, wannabe author kind of perspective on this show. I love the show. I will continue to watch it, but it does not hold me the way it used to, for sure. So what else am I watching? Well, let's see. The other big finale was Westworld season one. We'll talk about that on another podcast, maybe, or maybe a blog post. I'm not sure. I haven't decided yet. But anyway, I've already written a little about. Actually, I think I've already posted on it already. I might do a show on it. I might not. I'm not sure if it's still fresh in anyone's mind, or if anyone really wants to. If I have anything new to add that isn't in the blog, there is. Oh, I'm gonna do a review of Star Wars Rogue One, of course, this Saturday. I'm gonna go see it matinee Saturday. And post that. That's a given. I got to do that. I'm watching the show Black Mirror on Netflix, which is very interesting. Very interesting. It's slow and it builds at its own pace. It's kind of an anthology, like Twilight Zone meets X-Files kind of thing. Very cool. I highly recommend it. It's very heady. It's not. It's it, it's something for people that are getting tired of Marvel and DC TV shows, things like that. So very smart, kind of a Twilight Zone kind of thing. Very cool. So that's the other thing. Let's see, what else am I watching? I'm going to go see Passengers next week. Is there anything else? I think that's about does it for movies and TV. Right now, I am reading Dark Matter by Blake Crouch. Blake Crouch wrote Wayward Pines, which is now a TV show with Matt Dillon. The book, Wayward Pines, is awesome. It's a very cool book. I recommend that one. I've only started Dark Matter, so I can't recommend it yet. I did read a few Star Wars novels last month, kind of on a... And also I've been I've also been watching Star Wars Rebels, which is going nowhere. I mean, nothing has happened. This is basically... It's turning into just a regular kiddie cartoon. All the kind of serious, kind of important Star Wars moments that kind of got my attention in Clone Wars and in the first two seasons, none of that has happened through like 11 episodes of this show. I don't know what they're trying to do. I don't know if they really have anywhere to go, or maybe this show is done. I know Star Wars Rebels, their ratings are junk. They're getting somewhere around 500,000, 400,000, which I guess for Disney XD might be enough, but... You know, realistically, since Star Wars is like, owning the rights to Star Wars is basically gives you a license to print money. To have a Star Wars property perform this poorly, I don't know if Disney can really tolerate that. So they might give the show another season, but I think if they can't turn it around by the end of season 3, I think we might be seeing the end of Rebels. There's rumors of another animated show that could replace Rebels, that maybe takes place a little bit later in the saga. That could be interesting. Maybe not. I don't know. But all I can tell you is Rebels is boring me to death. And from what I'm reading, it seems to be boring a lot of people to death, except for kids. Kids love it. So maybe it's just for them now. So that's Rebels. I did read... All right, back to the books I read. I read Ahsoka by, I think it was E.K. Johnston or E. Johnston. That was okay. Ahsoka is one of my favorite characters from Clone Wars, from the early Star Wars canon, from Clone Wars. I thought there was a lot of potential in that character. I thought it was a good book. Ahsoka is a good book for Star Wars fans, and it'll entertain you. It's an Ahsoka Tano adventure, and it hits all the right notes for a Star Wars story. But I just think the character Ahsoka really has a lot of potential, and I just don't think they're really. I don't think they're hitting it very well. I think Ahsoka could be a transformative character for the saga and for the franchise. I think she already is. And I think they're missing on an opportunity to show us an adult Ahsoka Tano, a fully formed, semi-Jedi character, and they haven't done it. This book doesn't do it. And so far in Rebels, of course, as far as we know, she's dead in Rebels. But, I mean, her role in Rebels was really special, and that duel with Darth Vader was one of the big epic moments. It's probably the moment of the show so far, and since then, nil. There's a lot of people that think she's still alive, and she's going to make an appearance in the second part of this season. I hope she does, and I hope to God that at some point that Star Wars Rebels will have episodes or have events in the show that matter to the rest of the saga, that matter to the franchise, that matter. So far, season 3 does nothing has happened in season 3 that matters. So that is my kind of hit on it so far. I read Lost Stars by, I think it's Claudia Gray, I think her name is. That one's excellent. It's kind of a follows two characters that join the Empire, and one leaves after what happens to Alderaan, and so it kind of goes through episodes 4 through 6 through the eyes of two regular human characters that are watching these things unfold, and not really being a part of the central saga with the Skywalkers and whatnot. Very good book. I recommend that one for Star Wars fans and for people that want to read some of the new Star Wars canon. I recommend Lost Stars. I do recommend Ahsoka, but I would caution you that if you're looking for kind of a really big kind of exclamation point on the story of Ahsoka, you won't find it in this book. It's a good adventure, but not much beyond that. All right. Well, that'll about do it. The next episode will be a review and discussion on Rogue One. You'll probably get that here in a few days. So that'll do it for me for this episode of Thought Crime. And until next time.